have a quorum yet, but we are going to start the meeting because there's lots of conflicts going on. And we'll officially call the meeting to order when we get a quorum.
Check with the audience.
The first thing on the agenda, we're going to take House File 436.
Do we have a spreadsheet on that?
Members, in your packet, there is a spreadsheet. Representative Hilty, there are some costs and others with this. I would assume that the spreadsheet that the fiscal note that's before us is being covered in another bill, Representative Hilty?
Mr. Chair, that's correct. That's covered in the
I have it with
out of this finance. Now the environment and energy finance bill.
And is it covered in its entirety?
That's correct, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Just a very quick explanation, if you would, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I can't move the bill until we get a quorum.
No, we'll move it when we get a quorum.
Well, Mr. Chair and members, what the House File 436 represents is as close as we could get in the energy policy and finance division to a committee bill. Last December at the Rural Energy Forum, Governor Pawlenty made a proposal that he called the next generation energy initiative. And then at the beginning of session, submitted a bill to the legislature that would carry out the initiatives in that proposal. There were four. Renewable energy, what was described in that bill as an objective. A change in the way we do conservation and efficiency, change in the conservation improvement program to focus on outcomes, basically, rather than spending money. A proposal to expand the community-based economic development program that is already in statute, and a proposal to deal with carbon emissions contributing to global warming. That's a very ambitious proposal, part of which has already passed. Representative Peterson and Senator Anderson had done an enormous amount of work on the renewable energy standard in the previous two sessions, and we felt that that bill was ready to go, and so we did basically ignore that portion of the governor's proposal, which was substantially the same. And we did, as you recall, pass the renewable energy standard early in the session. The other three parts remain. And what we did, since all of those initiatives are very ambitious and require a great deal of work, is I asked members of the Energy Committee to anyone who is interested in pursuing any of those aspects to take the lead on that and do so. And that's what in fact happened. Representative Kalin has done considerable and very thorough, excellent work on the conservation and efficiency piece of the bill. And that's represented in a separate bill, House File 1221, as well as being incorporated back into the governor's bill. Likewise, Representative Peterson did the work on the community-based economic development piece, which was House File 2253, which I think you'll be hearing as a separate bill later this morning. And Representative Rood did the work on the global warming piece, which was represented by House File 375.
Hey, Representative Hilty, I'm going to interrupt you a bit, because this is the fiscal instead of the policy issues. Any questions from the members from Representative Hilty? Yes, Representative Holberg, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Hilty, I don't serve on any of the committees that this bill came to, and I know that this is supposed to be just fiscal, but I think my question relates to fiscal issues in general.
That's okay. We'll give you some latitude in your question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. These standards, the 1.5%, which can go down to 1%, and what happens if the utilities can't meet that?
Representative Hilty.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg. There are a number of provisions in that part of the bill that I think can be described as off-ramps. There aren't really any penalties that are involved if utilities can justify their inability to meet those requirements. And there are a lot of ways that they can meet them as well. I should point out that this part of the bill in particular was the result of an extremely comprehensive and well worked out stakeholder agreement. As were all parts of this bill were done in close coordination with the governor's staff,
okay.
I think that this is not a threatening provision for utilities. I think that would be that these are attainable goals.
And Representative Holbert,
Mr. Chair, and Representative Hilty, in the Senate, is it in the form of a study at this point?
This section of the bill in the Senate has already passed the Senate as a separate bill, I believe with one dissenting vote.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, just back to the cost issue, maybe I should have put my question a little differently. I think that you can probably accomplish just about anything if you're willing to pay enough. What are the protections to the ratepayers in this bill?
Representative Hilty.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Holberg, what this portion of the bill represents is a phasing out of the current conservation improvement program to which the utilities do contribute. This was the governor's proposal that we find a way to, instead of trying to achieve conservation and efficiency simply by spending money, to set goals that are actual results. So the requirement for spending fixed amounts on conservation and improvement is phased out in this bill. And if it's certainly conceivable, if not likely, that utilities can end up spending less to accomplish this than they are currently under the current SIP program.
All right. And Mr. Chair, there were a number of amendments that the Republicans were going to offer this morning, and my understanding is that in the Finance Committee there were no Republicans in the room when these bills were heard, given the scheduling conflict, and you had made the statement that you may consider amendments in Ways and Means as a result of that.
Representative Holbrook, I kind of gave it some consideration, but I think since these are policy issues that will be in front of the House floor, I've asked the authors to continue the proceeds of of having it, those amendments be willing to be offered on the House floor. And so I made a statement that I could consider it, but I, after more thought, I thought we should try to be consistent in our rulings.
Right, and so just for clarification, are you saying that you do not want to hear either A2, A4, or A5 this morning?
I would. I think I've asked the authors and talked to them about that, and yes.
Okay.
And I appreciate their cooperation with that as well.
Thank you.
We do have a little bit of an issue, I think, in that Mr. Shepherd.
Mr. Chair, members, just a procedural question for Representative Hilty. In just reviewing the material on the web here, it appears that in the Finance Committee, the Senate File 145 was substituted for House File 436, and then further there was an amendment that looks like it inserted all the language of House File 436 into Senate File 145. And I just wanted to double-check and make sure with Representative Hilty that that is correct.
Mr. Chair, that is correct.
So I think what we have before us now is not a copy of the Senate File 145. But the House File 436 is the language that would appear in Senate File 145. So the languages would be identical. And if we can wait and run off Senate File 145, or if it's okay with everybody, if you're comfortable that the language is the same, we can do that. Is that correct? Mr. Shepherd?
Mr. Chair, members, that is my understanding that on Friday afternoon on the House floor, at some point that shows on the web on April 27th, that the Senate file came over and the Senate file was sent to Ways and Means, but that this, my understanding is that this is the exact language and it just should basically say Senate File 145 on the top of it.
Mr. Chair, that's correct.
Okay.
Mr. Chair,
yeah, Mr.
so
Mr.
Where there were no amendments to the bill in finance, is that correct?
That's correct. I believe.
That is
correct. Is that correct?
Because I think the version that we have is as it went to finance.
Yeah, and there were no amendments, I believe. Sorry for that confusion.
Do we have a quorum?
Yeah. Okay, we do have a quorum, so we'll call the meeting officially to order. Representative Osmond, I know that you've thoroughly read the minutes, and there's a correction to be made, right, Representative Osmond?
One small correction.
And would you state that correction?
Representative Osmond was here.
And so the minutes will reflect that Representative Osmond was here. So Representative Osmond, would you then move the minutes?
I would do so.
And any other discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Then the House, Representative Hilty would move that Senate File 145 be recommended to pass and placed on the general register.
It would be as amended, Mr. Chair.
There's no amendments.
Yep. Great. Sorry.
So Senate File 145, Representative Hilty moves that. Representative Hilty, is that correct?
Mr. Chairman?
Yes. Yes. Representative
Hilty? Did he amend the Senate language out and the House language in the Senate file? So it had to be amended to do that.
The Senate file is before us.
With the House language amended in it.
That's right. And that's what you should have here is the Senate file. But the printing is identical to the House file that's here. It's
well, Mr. Chairman, that was asserted in finance, so
yes.
The motion here would be just that it be passed.
Just that it be passed.
Mr. Chair?
Yes. Representative McNamara.
Mr. Chair, thank you. You stopped by this morning and asked me about an amendment that I actually thought it was the amendment that I had for the Game and Fish Bill. Were you talking about, I had an amendment for this bill, I thought.
It's right here.
Okay. Well, I thought you were just going to, we were just going to pass it without amendment.
It is a policy amendment.
Mr. Chair, if I remember right, that's the nuclear power moratorium amendment.
Yes.
I would argue that it certainly has strong fiscal impact it certainly would put us in a direction that would have huge, huge fiscal impact. I had another amendment that was on the Game and Fish Bill, and I apologize truthfully. I thought that was the one that we were talking about, so you and I might not have been on the same page in our discussion this morning. Well, I actually forgot about this. I forgot we were doing this bill. I was thinking we were on the Game and Fish discussion.
Representative McNamara, I would argue differently that that is an amendment that is absolutely the right type of amendment for the floor. It is a change in policy. Do you have a fiscal note on that particular amendment?
No, sir.
Okay. What we have had in the committee is a commitment from both sides of the aisle that if it's a policy, I said that I would never prevent anybody from offering an amendment, but I have cajoled, is that the right word, on both sides of the aisle to kind of respect the charge of the Ways and Means Committee to be fiscal. Representative McNamara.
Well, you know, again, Mr. Chair, I've done this once already in committee. I will leave it up to you, but I think we're taking a narrow interpretation here that things that have huge fiscal impact we're not going to discuss in this committee.
Well,
the other one, I would argue, there's fiscal impact on the other one, I would argue, too, but it would take a little more of a stretch. This one, I think, is huge. But I will defer to you because I misunderstood our conversation this morning.
Representative McNamara, I have not seen your second amendment on the Dill bill, so it may not have been delivered to our staff. So this is the only one I know. Representative Hilke?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. With respect to I believe what Representative McNamara is referring to is an amendment dealing with the prohibition of the issuance of a certificate of need for nuclear power plants. That's nothing that's in this bill. That is a provision that's in current law. This bill does not have anything in it about nuclear power one way or another. And I might point out also that represents a bill that was introduced by Representative Pepin. There's a similar bill by Representative Huntley, and I have committed to both of those authors that in the interim we would have extensive hearings on the future of nuclear power. I really don't think that it has. It's certainly, in terms of this bill, has no fiscal impact at all. This amendment dealing with current law, not with anything in this bill.
So, Representative Hilty, is the similar language been introduced by Representative Pepin? Representative McNamara, does anybody know if a fiscal note has been asked for that by anybody?
Mr. Chair, I do not.
Okay. That being the case, I think Representative Paulson.
Well, and Mr. Chairman, yes, Representative Hilty, is there a fiscal note on Representative Pepin's bill? And you're the chair of the committee. Do you have any idea if there's a fiscal note on her bill?
That's the question I asked as well. Representative Hilty?
I do not have a fiscal note on the bill at this time.
Okay. Well, just so I clarify, Mr. Chair, that there's no fiscal note on the bill, so if it comes up on the floor, that there won't be an argument that there's a fiscal note attached based on Representative Hilty's statement.
Yeah. I would rule that without that, that it is not a fiscal matter before us. So. Okay, we then have the Senate File 145 before us. All those in favor, Representative Hilty renews his motion. Senate File 145 be recommended pass and placed in the General Registry. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed?
No.
And carried. I want to then go to very quickly, if you would please, House File 2253, Representative Peterson. The chair will move that House File 2253 be recommended to pass based on the General Registry. Representative Peterson, is this one this provision's incorporated into another bill someplace?
I think, Mr. Chair and members, yes, it's in the bill that you just passed, Representative Hilty's.
Any questions on this particular bill?
Mr. Chair, is there a fiscal note on this bill, or are we supposed to glean it out of the Hilty fiscal note, or?
I have one.
Do you have one? Okay, would you bring it up here? I don't have it.
Mr. Chair, and to Representative Hobart, I can answer it quickly. It's Section 7 and Section 12. What it is it transfers the reliability administrator from the Public Utility Commission to the Department of Commerce. That's the fiscal impact of the bill.
And Mr. Chair, maybe the auditor could give us further clarification rather than numbers of people, some dollars and nets.
Then can I look at it and then I'll share it with you?
Yeah, I got it.
Okay. Does that hold it? There's a copy of it. Representative Peterson, is this fiscal note been incorporated into the main bill that's been passed already?
Mr. Chair and members, yes, I believe it is. I mean, the fiscal note copy that I have here that now I think Representative Holberg has was handed out in Representative Carlson's Finance Committee last week, and now I don't have a copy, but I think I've got it such that the only thing it's fiscal is the transfer from Mr. Wolf, who's the reliability administrator at the PUC, the Department of Commerce. We moved that position because it's ending at the PUC, and we continue it over at the Department of Commerce. Worked with the department to develop these two sections of the bill and had agreement and consensus a couple months ago on it.
Mr. Chair, if I might then, who's assessed or what entities are assessed the $250,000 for the special revenue fund?
Representative Peterson?
Mr. Chair and members, without the assistance of Mr. Bull, I would potentially give you the wrong answer to that.
Is he in the audience? Please come forward. Welcome to the committee. Would you identify yourself, please, for the tape?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm Mike Bull. I'm the Assistant Commissioner of Commerce for Renewable Energy.
Representative Holberg, do you want to repeat the question?
Mr. Chair, in the fiscal note, it shows $250,000 annually starting in fiscal 08 to a special revenue fund. And I'm wondering who's paying that.
Mr. Roll.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, that is a it would be an assessment against the broad array of the utilities that have transmission issues.
And Mr. Chair,
Representative Holberg,
is this a new fee?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, it's not. It's a continuation of an existing assessment authority that I think was passed in 2001.
And Mr. Chair, assessment authority versus a new fee, you're not real clear. Are the utilities currently paying? Is the state currently getting the $250,000, and what are they using it for now, and will that change?
Mr. Bull.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, yes, the utilities are currently paying for this at the Public Utilities Commission. This entity is currently at the Public Utilities Commission, and the proposal is to move it actually back to the Department of Commerce.
So in other words, Madam Chair, So we're not changing a new fee, but rather we're changing the location of where the fee is going and being administered, but there's no new tax on the utility payers to pay for this or additional charges. Is that correct?
Representative Bowie, the tape will not pick up nods.
Yes. Mr. Chair, Representative Holbrook, but nodding is much safer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
But your answer was yes, yeah. Right? Okay, thank you. With that, then, the Chair would renew his... Any other questions?
Thanks.
The Chair would renew his motion that House File, get the right number, 2253 be recommended pass and placed in the general register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. Okay, next on the, by the way, the copies of this are also being reproduced for people if they wish, of the fiscal note. Next on the agenda then is a Representative Bill. You have two of them. Should we take 1116 first?
That would probably be the longer one if you want to do 904 first. So that's the last one.
Okay, 904 first. Up here. The Chair would move that House File 904 be recommended to pass and placed on the General Register. Representative Dale.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
First of all, let me ask a question. I see there's a fiscal note on it, but there's also a savings to the general fund. Has this been calculated in the bill that was passed as we go through the process in the Environmental and Natural Resources bill?
Are you referring, Mr. Chair, to the omnibus bill?
Yes.
It has not. This bill is traveling on its own.
Okay. And Representative Dill, there's a net savings to the general fund or to the state on this particular one, is that correct?
That is correct, Mr. Chair. I can quickly explain the note.
Okay, if you would.
If you look in the 07 column, you'll see $100,000. You'll see $100,000 in 07. That goes to the general fund. That has to do with in 2005, when the legislature decided that the state would sell land and deposit the funds into the general fund, a part of the budget balancing. I can't remember how we exactly phrase that, but budget balancing program. And then in 2008, you'll see a $20,000 in the general fund, same from land sales. You'll see $170,000, that is from fee land that is sold and then put into the for future acquisitions for the DNR to buy land to consolidate their holdings where it's appropriate, and then $80,000 going to the school trust fund corpus.
Okay, there is a net savings to the state in 2008, fiscal year 08, of $270,000, of which I understand some of that is to the general fund. My understanding, even that small amount, has been calculated in the omnibus bill as it comes forward. So, any other questions on this particular bill? Any questions?
Mr. Chair, I was hoping to spend that money somewhere else, and now you tell me you took it. So, easy come, easy go.
Yeah. If not, then the Chair would renew his motion that House File 904 be recommended to pass and placed in the General Register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried. And then the Chair would move that House File 1116 be recommended to pass and placed in the General Register. Representative Dale.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair. This is what is normally called or generally called the Omnibus Game and Fish Bill. It has about 20, in terms of bills and amendments that were incorporated into the bill, about close to 30. And it has some fiscal impacts. All of the impacts have been either absorbed by the agency, which would be House File 32. I had to do with a walk-in, establishing a walk-in program, very small note, $2,800 absorbed by the agency. Then there were three or four other items which are incorporated already into the omnibus environment bill that are a part of that bill, and I don't get to spend that money. You have already taken that one away from me.
Okay. Questions to Representative Dill. Any questions? Representative Fema. I'm sorry, Paul Paulson.
Okay.
I'm sorry. It's been a long weekend.
Representative Dill, Section 11 on page 6 of the bill is regarding the spouses of residents on active military duty. Can you talk a little bit about that?
I mean, the policy portion.
Where this came from, I'm just curious, why is, what spouses of residents on active military duty are looking for this provision? It's a little confusing to me.
Representative Dill?
Members, actually, I'm going to have Mr. Boggess explain it. I can, but he can get back to the point of it.
Welcome to the committee. State your name for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members. Ed Boggess, Deputy Director of Fish and Wildlife for DNR. And this was...
Representative Paulson, do you want to repeat the question?
I heard the question, okay. Mr. Chair. This was a provision that the DNR... that the DNI had proposed in the bill as originally introduced. It was a result of current law requires that a person, in order to qualify for a resident license, must have a state of Minnesota identification number. And we had a situation where we had a resident who was in the military who was a Minnesota resident, but whose spouse did not have a state of Minnesota identification card or driver's license number. And We just felt it was reasonable that if it's a resident who's in the military and their spouse wants to come and hunt or fish, that they should be able to get a license for a resident fee, whether or not they have a Minnesota driver's license or ID number. So this was a DNR provision.
Okay. That makes sense, but I was just curious if there was a resident. Yeah.
So. Any other questions? President McNamara?
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Mr. Boggess, Deputy Director, as long as you're there, maybe real quick, there's a provision in here about three pheasants later in the season that was a bill that I authored, and there was some confusion on the floor Friday on the direction of the DNR, and rather than have that happen again, I'd rather have it on the tape here in the record. Is there any biological, scientific reason... even though the DNR is neutral on this provision, can you tell us a little bit about the science of this discussion, and then maybe you could tell us why you'd be neutral if the science says one thing?
Representative McNamara, can you identify the section of that one in here?
I apologize, Mr. Chair. I don't have my glasses.
49. Section 49 of informal.
I'm okay now. He told me 49.
Okay. Mr. Rogers?
Mr. Chair and Representative McNamara, the biology of small game daily bag limits and possession limits in general is that with hunting season set in the fall and early winter, hunting harvest does not affect the survival of at least to the extent that it affects the breeding population the following year. We time those seasons in a way that it doesn't result in a diminishment of the breeding population. So small game bag limits, whether it's for pheasants or for grouse or rabbits or whatever, are designed to spread the harvest amongst the people taking the harvest, both among individuals and over the course of the season, to kind of meter that harvest out among more people over a longer period of time. The actual bag limit itself does not affect the population, and particularly for pheasants, where you can only take the male pheasants that are identifiable, the hens and the cock pheasants are distinguishable. So there's no biological effect of what the pheasant limit is. It's more of a social issue of how much do you want to spread that harvest among hunters and over time.
Okay, thank you. Any other questions? If not, I'm sorry, Representative Manchester.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Dill, not serving on your committee, can you explain to me the Section 45, the winter lake trout season issue? Was Trout Unlimited involved in that issue, and do you know where they are on that issue?
Representative Dill?
The Mr. Chair and... Representative Lincheski, they were not. This has to do with lake trout fishing. I did not hear any communication from them. That Trout Unlimited usually has most of their input, from my experience, with or stream trout, like brook trout, things of that nature. I did not hear any, nothing from the trout, any trout people on this particular provision. And this was a bill that was introduced at the beginning of session and went through committee.
Representative Winchester.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Dill, also Section 42, this is eliminating a limitation on special permits issued for commercial fishing operators in Lake, on Lake Superior. Similarly, has there been input from the different angling communities on this provision? I think I spoke with you about this last year, and I thought there was a concern, and I never followed up again, and I don't know what the core of that issue was and if it was resolved.
Well, Mr. Chairman, Representative Winchesky, this is really a new issue. We didn't speak about that last year. That's all right. this is an outgrowth of the development of the Lake Superior Fisheries Management Plan, of which there are dozens of groups, angling groups, sport fishermen groups, netting groups, conservation groups. Mr. Boggess, how many groups were involved in the development of Lake Superior Fisheries Management Plan? A dozen?
Probably about a dozen.
About a dozen. A dozen. So, yes, this particular provision is well fretted out and understood by the community. It's had great press coverage across the state. In fact, Outdoor News has covered it, all of the North Shore papers, things of that nature. So,
hey, Representative
Mr. Chair, and thank you. Just so, is it safe to say that's not a non-controversial provision?
In our omnibus bill, Mr. Chairman, it's been considered non-controversial.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you, Mr.
Any other questions? If not, then the chair would move that House File 1116 be recommended to pass and placed in the general register. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? And carried.
Thank you.
Members, an announcement. There are some other additional bills that will be coming to Ways and Means tomorrow. I think Representative Carlson, you have a meeting at 8 o'clock, and some of those bills will be, most of them will be referred to Ways and Means. We will try to manage our time and allow conference committees to, and House to be meeting. So as the governor, when he was majority leader, used to say, we'll be a little fluid. But I appreciate your understanding of that. With that, the meeting is adjourned.